cults over here.
Cults over there.
There are cults
everywhere.
And we're going to tell you all about it with a fairy tale twist.
Welcome to
Once Upon a Cult.
Once upon a time, you enter a cave and you encounter an orc. The orc is a power 10. What do you do?
Power 10. That's... I'm trying to equate it to math.
What?
I don't know. Never mind.
You're supposed to say, like, you want to use your initiative to try to run away. You're going to battle it. What are you going to do?
Isn't 10 to the power of 10 a 1,000? 100.
Oh, math nerd. Okay. Full disclosure. We don't know what we're talking about with Dungeons and Dragons. I tried. I think our friend Leah is listening. Leah plays Dungeons and Dragons. I told Alan, I'm going to try to impress Leah with my mad Dungeons and Dragons skills. I don't know if I've done that or not successfully.
I mean, I will admit, Sean at least has played the game. The closest thing I have to it is I've watched the movie.
Yeah, I played it once, and I've said this before. I don't think he'd ever listen to any of my podcasts, but I had an ex-boyfriend who was the worst. We say DM in the community, which is Dungeon Master.
Not direct message,
Dungeon Master. We went into a forest, and there was a portal. So we went into the portal, and then he was like, you go into the portal, and you see two more portals. So we're like, okay, we go into the portal on the right. It's like, you go into the portal on the right, and you see three more portals. And we're like, okay. So he told me later I was supposed to be, like, exploring and asking questions and doing searches, and I'm like, well, it would have helped if you told me that, since this is the first time I've ever played this. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't a great first experience, but I'm interested. I'm open to D&D.
Yeah, I'm excited to play as, or with Leah as a dungeon master.
Oh,
sorry, the DM.
The DM, that's what we say in our community. So why are we talking Dungeons and Dragons? Okay, I'll tell you. Today we are talking about Jameson Stone and Satine Phoenix.
Okay.
Yeah. So these two came on the scene in like 2017, kind of went off the scene in 2022. This one was actually sent to us by one of our favorite culties. I'm mixing shows now. Kat, thank you for sending this one in, saying you wanted to hear more about these two. I didn't give you credit for Soka Gakkai. Kat also sent in Soka Gakkai.
That was a cool one.
Yeah, that was a fun one. And then Kat also sent a third one that I, no promises, we may get to your third one as well, Kat. So thank you for listening. Thank you for sending these in. These have been fun to research. And I just love having active listeners.
Yeah.
We do have two more episodes after this and then our grand finale. So if there's anybody else out there who would like any specific cults, we will definitely see if we can comply. So just hit us up on Instagram, onceuponacult, or onceuponacult@gmail.com, and let us know what you want for these last two episodes.
Yeah, tell us now, because, I mean, two more left. So.
I mean, we have ones that we can do, but we'd love to hear from you if there's any specific ones you want.
Yes.
All right. Clap. Let's get into this.
Collab.
So this one was a little bit of a ride. So the first thing I did in researching is I found that Satine Phoenix did kind of her first real live stream with Dungeons and Dragons on October 18th, 2017. So naturally, I wanted to look this up. Mm-hmm. So I looked it up and I got a very distinct impression from her. I was like, wow, she seems so sweet. I wonder if this Jameson Stone guy like messed her up.
Mm.
But upon looking into it more, it may be a different story.
Maybe the tables have turned.
So do you want to start us off with Satine's journey before this whole mess?
Yeah, so Satine hasn't, you know, been a D&D figure for her whole life. Before that, she actually, believe it or not, was more into the sex work industry. She started out as a stripper in San Francisco, and we're not condoning her. We're just kind of giving her background of, you know, what she's done before. Because, yeah, it's very different from, or something you wouldn't expect from, you know, maybe someone in the current industry that she's in.
Right.
But, yeah, she was a stripper in San Francisco and eventually entered into the porn industry in 2006, and her content was more towards the sadomasochism and bondage type genre. And yeah, she even got fourth place for, and this is an interesting category, she got fourth place for Best Comic Artist at the Bondage Awards in 2010.
Wait, Best Comic Artist?
Best Comic Artist, Bondage Awards? I had to read that a couple times. I guess... there's comic artists that do bondage.
So is it like comic as in like comic drawing, like artists, or like comic, like comedy?
Where I got this from, it didn't expand of it, but I would assume it's more so comic, like drawing. Okay. Maybe. Because I mean, look at her content. She's not really that much of a comic, funny-wise. So yeah, that happened in 2010.
Bitchy, Party Valen.
But, yeah, around at the same time, too, in 2010, she eventually became one of the first prominent online streamers to appear in the Dungeons & Dragons scenes. And, yeah, she's been playing for a while, too. Ever since she was 8 years old, she's been playing D&D. So...
wow.
Yeah, she's a bit of an expert. So yeah, now that she's, you know, a prominent online streamer, her show, she created a show called The Sirens of Realm, and it appeared on Dungeons & Dragons' official streaming channel. She also worked with other channels like Wizards of the Coast, or a group called Wizards of the Coast, as a community manager for D&D for about a year, and worked with other popular names as well too, including the son of D&D co-founder Gary Gygax. I'm not sure how to say his name, sorry.
I love it when you talk dirty.
Gygax.
Stop it.
Yeah, and then eventually in 2019 she founded the live stream production company Gilding Light.
Yes.
Yeah.
So here's where a lot of people, I think, had the same impression as me that, you know, Satine may have been kind of a nice person, but one of the earliest recounts of Satine is from 2016 with Lisa Lee. And I love Lisa's name. She spells it with two I's. Ooh. Lisa Lee. So she was kind of, I call it a stage manager. There wasn't really a title. She would just kind of make sure everyone had their props, had breaks, got meals, got to where they needed to go for like D&D, like the big like D&D games that were sometimes streamed or like watched live. So kind of a stage manager to the people playing.
Mm-hmm.
So she says in 2016, before Satine had met Jameson, that Satine was just very rude towards her. Mm-hmm. To the point where even like on camera, Satine was like, I don't want to speak to her. I don't want to speak to Lisa. And Lisa was like, well, I'm also kind of like the NPC clue giver. So like you kind of have to. In the community, Alan, NPC uh-huh. is non-playable character.
Okay.
Luckily, even though I'm not part of the D&D community, there's a lot of overlap, I feel, with, like, the video game community, which I am part of. And, like, I play tabletop games, like Betrayal at the House on the Hill, which I feel takes elements from D&D. So, luckily, I'm kind of up to speed on how everything works. But I'm trying, Colties. I'm really trying here. I'm trying, Leah. and then it got a little bit worse throughout the day, because at a certain point, Lisa says that after everything was done, Satine put her leg out to block Lisa's path. And it looked like she was starting to like start a confrontation, but luckily like one of the guys there kind of got Satine's attention and like got her to move away from the area. So it just seems very childish.
And that movie, my foot.
And that movie.
Yeah, I'm like, really? How old are we?
I know. So then, October 18, 2017, Satine, like Alan said, she's working for Wizards of the Coast as kind of the community engagement for D&D. She's starting the show, The Sirens of the Realm. So she's kind of making a name for herself in the community. So October 18th is when she gets a chance to stream on Twitch a live D&D session with her as the Dungeon Master.
Oh.
Yeah. So, I mean, I could see very much so, like, this is an attractive woman. She's got fun hair. I could easily see how she could draw in female players and male players mm-hmm. from D&D.
All the horny nerds out there.
I didn't want to say it.
Sorry.
Alan said it. yeah, so then at the same time, Jameson Stone was also pretty big into Dungeons & Dragons, and at this point he owns Apotheosis?
Sure. Apotheosis Studios.
So they're also creating content that goes in line with like the D&D kind of nerdism.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to be clear, culties, when we call people nerds, we are very much self-professed nerds as well. So it's not from a place of like shame or hate.
No.
Yeah, we're very much nerds.
Yeah.
We have Star Wars lightsabers. We have a whole room dedicated to Star Wars. So.
We have a Disney podcast.
We have a Disney podcast. So, Jameson and Satine meet sometime around this time, and together they become kind of a power couple for mm-hmm. D&D. And, like, he's very muscly. He's got like bright, usually blue hair. She's got usually kind of very intense, like purples and blues, sometimes very intense bleach, like platinum blonde. So together, they're very like nerd fab.
Yeah.
He wears guyliner.
Yeah. Yeah. They're just like a nerd power couple. Very interesting.
Yeah. And like, I would say, I'm going to be kind of Alan Bitchy for a second.
Oh, wow.
I kind of feel like they're nice looking, but I think they hide behind, like, the makeup and the hair and the nail polish. Like, I think they go overboard from, like, a place of maybe low self-esteem to make themselves better. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It just seems like they do a lot to, like, pretty themselves up.
Yeah, or they kind of lean into more of their looks versus personality.
Yeah.
Because as you'll hear more about, they don't have the best personalities.
That's a good point. I was surprised when I watched, I know it was her very first stream on her channel, but she was very like soft-spoken and seemed very nervous.
Mm.
So yeah, I could see where maybe this is to hide lesser personalities.
Yeah.
So, the two of them married on March 24th, 2022.
I love how they got married.
Yeah, tell us about it.
So, they got married at GaryCon, who, the namesake Gary is because of the co-founder of Dungeons & Dragons, and it's a whole convention about, or celebrating Dungeons & Dragons. And yeah, they get married at the con. It's also filmed as well, too. So, very just like showy. Everyone's dressed up in cosplay, and it's officiated by Luke Gygax.
I love when you talk dirty.
And yeah, I mean, when you just see the video too, it is interesting though, because it kind of seems like a joke. Like a lot of it, they keep on like laughing throughout the whole thing. So I don't know if they're like in on it or like they know it's kind of, I don't want to say ridiculous, but it's like not that serious, but it's just, it seems more for the show than it does for the marriage.
You know? Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. But yeah, they get married at a con, which is fun, which that's I fun. Also expect from a couple like them.
Yeah. Yeah, they were very into the con. And when we say con, we mean convention. They were very into the convention life. They would be invited to different cons like Wizard of the Coast through one called Origins Game Fair, one called Geek and Sundry. So they make a pretty big name for themselves. They're getting paid to basically be D&D personalities, which is a pretty cool life.
Yeah.
You would think somebody would be very humbled to be able to get paid just to go to cons and speak and play games that they love playing. Mm-hmm. But they weren't.
No.
So, June 7th, 2022, this is when everything begins to unravel. Because we get a Twitter that gets posted by Chad Rowe. So Chad Rowe is a tattoo artist who is up and coming on social media. The reason why he had kind of made a name for himself is because he tattooed Post Malone. Mm-hmm. It's funny how many times Post Malone starts coming up. Like, because he was also went to Zach Bagans and got cursed by the Dybbuk box.
Yep.
So he's got quite the life.
Yeah.
So Chad Rowe, from what I've heard from Satine's retelling, her and Chad were friends. She said, like, they would just hang out sometimes. She got a tattoo from him. She tattooed him. So they, like, tattooed each other. So I guess they were kind of friends. And so Satine and Jameson, I keep forgetting Jameson's name for some reason.
Jameson Stone.
Jameson Stone. Yeah. They contacted him because they were going to commission him from Apotheosis Studios to tattoo Jameson with symbols that they had come up with from the company. So they told Chad, you know what? We're not that concerned. You're a friend. We're not that concerned about contracts. Just use the contract that you use for Post Malone.
Yeah.
Just use that. And then, just to have a contract. So according to Chad's retelling, he sent the contract and then he got a message back from Jameson basically being like, what the fuck is this? What is this piece of shit contract? This is terrible. I feel sorry for you. You're unprofessional. It was just very negative.
Yeah. And what's good on Chad's side is that he has the receipts.
Yeah, he posted the actual messages.
Yeah, so I'm like, good for you.
Yeah, I would say the one thing that Chad did, which was a little problematic, is he was... Oh, what am I trying to say? He was very, like, humble to their critiques. Like, he's like, oh, you're right, I don't really work in legal. Oh, you're right, this was unprofessional. He did cow down a little more to them than he probably should have, but I can understand if he's friends with Satine, then it's a very awkward situation. So Jameson was kind of throwing it out there, like, dude, this is unprofessional. You're basically like taking ownership of these designs, which is problematic because this is from my company. So, like, why are you taking control of these designs? Mm-hmm. And then, of course, I'm not reading verbatim, I'm just retelling. But of course, Chad was kind of like, whoa, that's not my intention. Like, this, I did what you said. I used an existing contract. I'm not worried about the contract. You know, I can rewrite it, whatever you need. But then, I don't know, Jameson just kept doubling down on it, being like, I can't believe this is how you work. And then at one point, Jameson wanted the images to be resent. So Chad resent them, but he sent them to Jameson's personal email instead of his work email. So then Jameson was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you did that.
So unprofessional.
It's so unprofessional. I'm going to have Satine talk to you when she's done with her live stream. So then Satine comes on. And as Satine, like, as being a friend, I honestly, at a certain point, I couldn't tell who was speaking between Jameson and Satine. Because it was the same level of kind of intimidation and kind of just being a jerk.
Yeah.
So there's, I don't know, it's weird how similar their voices were in those texts. And she was basically like, hey, let's just like go on a phone call in 20 minutes and let's all talk. So that's kind of where it ended with that conversation.
Okay.
I bring that up because that does come into play later, the fact that she wanted a phone call.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think I'll save that for later though.
Oh.
For the apology. Oh. So, according to, this is something else, but according to Satine's apology, everything did get wrapped up, and Chad apparently, according to Satine, did say, like, thank you for, you know, being a good friend. Thank you for taking me under your wing. Thank you for helping me. Mm-hmm. So this really surprised Satine that at this point on June 7th, Chad released these Twitter posts because she was blindsided, according to her, because she thought that they were good. But according to Chad's Twitter, he basically said, this was such a toxic conversation. This was so bad that, like, I don't want anybody else to be subjected to this. I feel a duty to release this. How do you feel about that?
I mean, I wasn't in the room to see how the whole conflict resolved, but it sounded like, according to him anyways, like there wasn't a resolution. And, you know, I'm glad, like, again, I don't know everything, but if he does feel like there's still some issue with it, then yeah, good, go for him. I mean, you know, and I think I'm kind of jumping ahead now, but like, it seemed like it was justified because there were other accounts of them being crappy to the people that they work with.
Yeah, and this is where I know so far this doesn't really sound very culty. It just sounds like two people being bitches. Mm-hmm. It does get a little more culty from here on out. We just needed to set the stage for you all.
Yeah.
But as somebody who had a messy podcast breakup, I'll be the first to admit, I don't mind that he put these out in the public, because yeah. I did the same thing. Because when somebody's messing with your public image, and if you have people who follow you and listen to you, no matter what you do, that can affect your persona. So I feel he was justified in doing this, especially for the reason that he was afraid other people could be being taken advantage of, like he was. Because mm-hmm. by the end of this whole debacle, in many people's opinion, including my own, Chad didn't get paid what he wanted out of this. So many people feel that this was all gaslighting in order for them to intimidate and work out a lower fee for the tattoos.
That makes sense based on other people's accounts.
Yeah. So one of the first things that happened when Chad wrote this or posted this is Satine had worked on a collection of stories called Sirens: Battle of the Bards. And she had brought in, with Jameson's help, a lot of writers to help, like, contribute to the story. So, right off the bat, a bunch of people who worked on Sirens were like, oh my glob, this guy's so right. She did the same shit to us. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people were intimidated. A lot of people weren't paid, or they were paid less. A lot of times what would happen is Jameson and Satine would kind of be like, oh, we're not going to use your story, or this isn't good work. And then they would pay a lesser fee based on not the completed pages, but like...
Yeah, it was like they got paid less because they got paid now based off of the post-edit count.
There it is.
Yeah. So, which is an industry standard. So because of that, people didn't get paid as much as they did. And even like the Kickstarter people that signed up for it kind of got screwed, because so the book itself raised about $300,000, and it was supposed to be released December 2021, then got moved to December 2023. Now it's scheduled for January 2024, but they're going to get the PDF version of the book.
Oh, yeah, that's so not good.
Yeah, even the people that kickstarted it are getting screwed over by them.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so here's where we start to go down that cult path. So a lot of people during this time were being intimidated the same way Chad Rowe was. They were being told basically, like, if you go up against us, we can blacklist you. Mm-hmm. You'll never work for anyone in this town again, or in this Dungeons and Dragons town again. Jameson actually even tweeted once that he could ruin anyone that he wanted with but a tweet, which to me was ironic. That's what took them down, is but a tweet. What a sweet tweet it was. So There was even more abuse reported from two individuals named Tristan and Katie, who had asked Satine and Jameson to come to PAX West or PAX West, which is another kind of big con type thing. And Tristan and Katie describe being belittled by the two. Like, they were belittled for having more than one glass of wine.
Yeah.
So they must have an alcohol problem. They were also made to feel like they were the attendant to Jameson and Satine rather than being the employer, because they were the ones paying for the two to be at the show.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Like, they're the ones that are working for the con, really.
Yeah. So this blew up really quick, because if you remember, Satine and Jameson kind of came on the scene in 2017. Chad released the tweet in June 7th, 2022. And then already by June 16th of 22, Satine and Jameson's persona was so hated upon that they disappeared off of social media between the 7th and the 16th. Mm-hmm. And then on the 16th, Satine put out her live apology on Instagram. Instagram Live, she did that. And some people are under the opinion that this wasn't the best, because if you're apologizing live, it can be more sincere, but you're also not, like, editing out anything that may not sound good.
Like, if you're not a good, like, public speaker or good at just, like, speaking off the cuff, you know, you might not be the best at going live, because, it's just word vomit for the most part.
Yeah, and that's what it was. So Teen started out, she was kind of choked up, kind of crying. I watched, it's like 45 minutes. It's pretty long. I watched almost half of it. It's long. She starts out talking from the heart, and then she kind of gets derailed a little because of the comments. She had the comments in front of her, and like, people were not being great in the comments, which I don't know. I guess I'm middle of the road there, because it's like, at a certain point, she did hurt a lot of people, so they have a right, I think, to let her know about the hurt. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, the people in the comments weren't the people that she hurt, so I don't know if they had the right to be the ones to like say stuff to her. Uh-huh. But also, a lot of the comments that I saw personally were attacking more so the insincerity of the apology rather than attacking her as a person. But at a certain point, she stopped and she said, wow, you guys in the comments, you're really mean. So she started reading a script that she had prepared beforehand. And I think that's where some people may have felt like, okay, well, you're just reading. We don't even know for sure that she wrote this. And a lot of her speech was like, it went back to Chad Rowe, and she's like, oh, well, I knew things were going bad between Jameson and Chad. Jameson is an asshole. She actually called Jameson an asshole. Wow. That'll come back later. Yeah. And so she kind of blamed everything on Jameson. She was like, when I saw the conversation going bad, that's why I asked for a phone call, because I figured maybe we're not talking, you know, maybe it's coming across differently in text. So she acted like she was kind of the hero, and she was kind of there being the puppet of Jameson in a way. Mm-hmm. So how do you think people took to that?
Oh, I'm sure they believed her, and, you know, everything's fine now.
Yeah, it didn't go well. A lot of people were like, take accountability for your actions. Because she kept saying, like, I've hurt people, but she never really, like, apologized. And she kept making excuses for why she did it rather than just being like, I'm sincerely sorry.
I'm sorry, they're hurt for my actions, probably.
Yeah. So then Jameson also put out an apology. That one was a little more well-received. His, though, was a written letter that he posted, basically saying, like, I know I've hurt people. I'm mentally unstable. I'm getting help. One of the big features on his, same thing, like people didn't feel like just blaming it on mental health was really apologizing, even though, even if it is valid, it's not taking accountability. But somebody, I guess, pointed out in the community, like, bitch, you were just doing everything you're apologizing for like a week before you posted this. So you really haven't changed. You're just trying to save your public image.
Yeah.
So then Jameson and Satine disappear from all social media completely. Like, all their accounts go dark at this point because their apologies aren't well received.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't really hear from them.
Yeah.
For a really long time.
Very long time.
All the way from June of 22 to September 22. So at this point, Satine pops back up on Instagram and she starts kind of weaving a tale of why she's the person she is. She kind of says, like, I didn't realize I was hurting people. Like, by human nature, like, we're all being hurt or hurting someone else, either intentionally or unintentionally. And she starts talking about sexual molestation as a kid. So I don't want to take away from that. If it is a valid story, like, that's her story. It's one that many of us share. So it's brave of her to talk about it. But at the same time, is that really a reason to say that I was a horrible person because of this?
Well, that's the thing, too. Like, no matter what excuse, like, just admit that you're a bad person and you're getting better. You don't need to give us, like, oh, I'm bad because of this. Just own up to it.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's how people felt. They're like, you still haven't given an actual apology to anyone you hurt.
Yeah.
You're just kind of, like, throwing a blanket over it and playing the victim.
Yeah.
So I kind of social media stalked her a little bit today just to kind of see. So there's still she's still with Jameson, which I'm surprised because of the way she kind of threw everything at him. But I also found another post from Jameson to Apotheosis Studios kind of saying we need to protect Satina at all costs. We need to protect her public image.
Yeah, sure.
So somebody in the threads even, I mean, in her apology, someone in the threads even throughout, this sounds like Jameson talking.
Mm.
Like, they insinuated that he's the one who wrote her apology for her.
Mm.
So that does go in line with him saying, like, we need to protect Satina at all costs.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be surprised if he did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
A lot of the stuff she talks about is, besides the mental health, she put up pictures of her and Jameson, their wedding, like how much she likes being married to him. There's a lot about her daughter. I'm not sure if Jameson's the father or not, but she has a daughter named Freya. this is how you know she's a nerd, because she named her daughter after the Norse goddess Freya. And this is how you know I'm a nerd, because I know who Freya is. She also is still doing events, which are more so, it looks like, put on through Apotheosis. Not like, she's not being invited back to cons, I don't think. And what's interesting is I was like, oh wow, she actually gets a decent amount of comments. And then you open the comments.
Oh, no.
A lot of people still feel like, why are you a thing? Like, why have you still not apologized?
Yeah.
People were still throwing things out there like, oh, is this your next way to intimidate people? Is this your next money-making scheme? So she's not being received well still.
Well, good. I mean, you just have to apologize, maybe, like, sincerely. And maybe that'll change things.
That's what a lot of people say. Like, they kind of say, like, I wish better for you. Or, like, I wish you would be a better person.
Yeah.
Because I think we're in this culture right now, this cancel culture, where, like, people are canceled sometimes more easily than they should be. But, like, people, I feel with Satine, they want her to be better. They want to follow her. They want to like her. They want to go to her events. But she's just not owning up to anything.
Yeah.
Which sucks.
Yeah, and I think what makes it even more insincere with like her apologies that she's been doing or the previous ones is that at the same time she's been promoting her Satine quests as well, like these like luxury D&D experiences. So it's like, are you back and are you coming back now just so that you can get more money? You know, again, like, because that just makes it even more insincere.
Yeah. One thing that was funny, she did listen to a little bit of feedback because she was posting a lot of professional pictures and people are like, you're not even crediting the photographer. So at least she started crediting the photographers.
Because that's free to do.
Yeah. So she is listening at least.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Have you looked into these quests, these cruises and mansions that they have D&D gatherings at?
No, tell me about it.
They're pretty cool. So yeah, I mean, they basically like rent out a whole cruise ship so that you can just meet other D&D players and fans. It looks like the cruise portion though hasn't really happened recently. Probably because they can't get enough people to fill out a cruise ship.
Well, I also read that they did try one cruise ship, but they got dropped because they were being jerks to the cruise managers.
Good. But, I mean, I guess that part, since we are talking about cults, like, that can be kind of culty, too, because you are in kind of, like, a community situation. So I can see how that can kind of get a bit culty. And, yeah, the other experiences that she has is more like going to a mansion. This past January they went to Wentworth Mansion, which is a pretty bougie type of, like, it kind of looks like a castle from what I recall. So very immersive and put you in that whole Dungeons and Dragons type situation.
The part to me that's really unfortunate, especially being in the nerd community, is that, like, the little experience I have had with Dungeons and Dragons, I definitely see the appeal because you're creating a character. Like, my ex would, like, create a trans character or, like, any other character to try to be something different than he was and get to live through the eyes of that character. And so I can see the allure to, like, going into this world and, like, living out kind of this fantasy. And I know, like, some people even bring weapons or wear armor, or I know one of Leah's friends like has a fog machine that they put out. Like, it's a big to do. It's pretty cool.
Like, when I, before knowing anything about Dungeons and Dragons, like, I thought it was just like a board game, but it is like literally a production that you can put up, which is like, that's kind of cool.
Well, and what's cool too is it does, like you said, it is a community. So even on a small scale, like one time when I went to my ex's house, his roommate was doing their weekly D&D. So you have this group of people who, at least, I'm not speaking for everyone, but at least in this circle, a lot of these guys were like a little antisocial. So, you know, they don't always connect with people right away or have trouble talking to people. So at least with these group of guys, they were able to find friendships in these random, you know, get togethers with people brought on from, you know, a small group to a larger group to a larger group. So it's just a way to, you know, widen your circle of friends. In some cases, try to sleep with everybody there. So that's why I'm not with him anymore.
Oh, wow. I mean, it is unfortunate too, because I'm sure a lot of these people who play, like, they see Dungeons and Dragons as a safe place. You know, they maybe in the real world, they're not the most, like, socially accepted person. So it does kind of suck when you have people like Satine who kind of prey upon, you know, the not socially, or I guess, like, these type of people, because probably they might have been bullied in the past, too.
Yeah.
And they're bullying them more, which sucks.
I'll bet you at least one of their names was Jonathan. By the way, part of what inspired this one is not only was it Kat's message and the right timing, but we just saw the Dungeons & Dragons movie last week, and it was so good.
Yeah, it's a good movie. You should definitely watch it.
With Jonathan. And you should definitely not fall asleep while you're watching it, Alan.
I...
Or Dill.
Plead the fifth.
Okay. So yeah, it's just even as someone who only kind of knows Dungeons and Dragons, like watching it, I was still like, oh, that's a gelatinous cube. Oh, that's this, that's this. It's like, I'm such a nerd. Yeah, so I just get kind of sad sometimes when these kind of smaller communities with sometimes not as social people, like our Final Fantasy VII house that we talked about, mm-hmm. or this one, it's just unfortunate that there's always somebody to prey on any community.
Yeah. Just don't.
Yeah. But luckily with D&D being, I mean, it's still pretty big, but compared to other communities, it's not as big. Uh-huh. So I'm happy that this happened in a community where they were able to band together and, like, oust Satine and Jameson.
Yeah.
It does show the power of, like, the internet,
yeah.
and connecting through social media.
Yeah, and it's great that it kind of also, like, just happened. Like, this whole stuff happened, like, in about a year.
Yeah.
It was really quick, and that's why, like, when we were doing our research, like, I don't think we were struggling, but there's not a lot of information out there that we could get, so, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of my friend here was Twitter and reading yeah. through the firsthand accounts. So I should say a lot of this information is alleged because there is still like an ongoing legal troubles I've heard with Satine right now. So I'm just going off the information told, the stories told from people who were connected to Satine and Jameson.
Yeah, so Satine, don't put your leg in front of our walk.
Yeah, okay. We'll walk where we want, woman.
I can't believe she did that.
I know. So should we go through our Kavos?
Sure.
All right, charismatic leader.
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, she's got a lot of fans, so yeah. I mean, maybe her Instagram live wasn't that great, but her other content looked fine.
Yeah, on the flip side, I did see one person in the Instagram posts say, like, Satine, I met you in person, and you were so lovely. You hugged me, this, you, that. And this was, like, after Satine came back, so mm-hmm. after all the allegations had come out. So, I mean, it could be a few things. It could be that she really has changed her ways and she's trying to be better. It could be that she has, like, her behind-the-scenes persona, mm-hmm. and she has her charismatic persona she puts out in front of her fans. So, I mean, I want to throw out the good, too. Like, there are people who have met her that really enjoy her, but the people behind the scenes are the ones who are like, oh, this person's just not good.
Yeah.
But, yeah, charismatic, definitely. I think in this case, it's charismatic in the way that they're so, her and Jameson are so, like, flamboyant in the way they dress, their hairstyles. Like, I think, like we said earlier, I think they put that out there to make up for a personality that's not always there.
Yeah.
And that draws people to them because nerds love hair dye.
And to look at things.
And to look at things. How about alienation?
I mean, there is definitely some alienation there with the whole blacklisting, that Satine and Jameson kind of created. So yeah, there's that. But in terms of like alienating themselves from like, or I guess their followers from like a group of people, I don't see that.
Yeah, I would agree. 'Cause the blacklisting is definitely problematic, and that's more so for more of the inner circle, I think.
Yeah.
But you're right. There's nothing to say, like, you know, you can't go outside the D&D circle. Like, they're not controlling in that way.
Yeah.
Belief system.
That one is probably something I would say no, just because I don't see them. I mean, they believe in the game, but I don't think that's something like they worship as like a religion. So I would probably say no to that.
Yeah, I'd say no. Outside evil.
Twitter. No, I don't think so.
Yeah, not really. Just people who want them to pay money.
Yeah.
Oh, that's another thing I think I didn't come back to is people came out later basically agreeing with Chad Rowe that they felt like they were intimidated into getting paid less than mm-hmm. what they agreed to.
Okay.
Yeah. So You said something funny yesterday. Just remember.
Oh, yeah. So when we were talking, like first summarizing about this whole thing, I was just like, oh, this just sounds like Todrick Hall, but with Dungeons and Dragons. Because if you don't know, Todrick Hall is infamous for not paying his dancers or not paying them what they were signed up for. So very similar.
Very similar. Yeah. And then sense of community, we talked a lot about. There is already a community that they kind of pushed themselves into and kind of took advantage of.
Yeah. So it wasn't just because of them.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think even from the beginning when we started looking into this, we were like, this doesn't feel like a cult. It feels cult adjacent. It feels, you know, like they're definitely taking advantage of people for self-gain. But they're not really, like, holding people to them.
Yeah, I think it could potentially, like, if they had the thought of, like, oh, yeah, I want followers, I want to be kind of, I guess, worshipped in a way, they probably could and have the tools to do it, but as of yet, no. Like, maybe if they weren't called out as jerks, you never know, maybe that was their next step.
Great. Now, once they listen to this, now you're giving them an idea. You're giving them an idea for a cult.
Or the verse wise is maybe we save the people that were going to be in their cult.
There you go. Yeah. There you go. So yeah, definitely, I don't know, keep yourself safe out there, especially if you are in a smaller community. Keep an eye out for people who may seem like they're taking advantage. And I think it's healthy to say and to always have the mindset that, like, you really don't know who anybody is past their persona.
Yeah.
Like, I always think about that if I'm in the public. Like, the person sitting next to me, this random person, could be a murderer. They could be a rapist. They could be a thief. Like, I know nothing about them because you really can't see those aspects on someone's face.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Yeah.
And also, I think with this, always learn to have everything in writing.
Yeah,
I think that was smart of Satine to be like, hey, can we get this like on the phone instead of this like text back? Because like she probably realized, oh, this is all in writing. Like,
yeah,
this isn't good. So,
oh, yeah, that's the thing. I didn't come back to that. I'm so bad today. Satine claimed in her apology that she did the phone call because she saw how bad the conversation was going. So she just wanted them all to talk it out. Like, it was her way to rein in Jameson.
Mm.
But again, I saw Satine's text. They weren't great either.
They're just not good texters.
No. Cool. So this was a really interesting one, a little different to look at. Yeah. This goes in line with a lot of the newer age cults that, you know, take advantage through social media and through the internet.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess that's why we're not on social media as much. That's our excuse.
I wonder what their thoughts are with the Dungeons and Dragons movie. If they're like, why didn't they pick us to be in the movie? Or
Yeah.
They're probably like, oh, we could have been in it because if only we weren't canceled.
Yeah, it sucks because they had a good thing going. If they were just good people, you know. Oh, well. Well, if people didn't get enough of listening to us here, where else can they find us?
You can also find us on Marvelous Galaxy of Disney, where we talk about Disney stuff every week.
Yay! You can find me on Words of the Witches. We are right now in between season 9 and 10 of Charmed, reading the novels that came out between the comics. Mm-hmm. So, again, that's how you know I'm a nerd, because I'm reading the novels in between the comics of the extended universe of Charmed. You can also find me on Solving for X, where we're talking about the original X-Men cartoon from 1992. Another way that you could tell, yes, I am in fact a nerd. If that hasn't hit home yet. Is that everything?
I think so. Nerd.
Nerd. Just kidding. All right, thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week with in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
With our last three episodes. Oh. We're down to the last three.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we have a fun last episode planned for you. So two more cults and then kind of the wrap-up episode. Yeah.
Very exciting.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you, Leah.
Thank you.